some of you know that this week I was in Colorado Springs, Colorado, at a conference called Resonate. Resonate is the National Christian Missionary Alliance conference for new official workers. What does that mean? An official worker is simply someone that is a pastor or is on track to become a pastor in the Christian Missionary Alliance. Our church, Discovery Christian Community, is affiliated with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And every year they put on a conference called Resonate. The national office of the Christian Missionary Alliance is in Colorado Springs, Colorado. So wasn't able to download the photo for some reason, so I just took a screenshot. So this is a group, basically just about everybody, and we're posing in front of the national office. So one of the things we did during the conference was we toured the national office. Very, very interesting, exciting. Got to meet Dr. John Stumbo, is the president of the Christian Missionary Alliance, and he actually was at the conference the whole time, gave several messages. Anyone who does not know about Dr. Stumbo's message, or I'm sorry, his testimony, you should do so. He was actually an ultra-marathon runner, and all of a sudden, debilitating sickness almost killed him. He was in a wheelchair for several years before the Lord miraculously healed him, and he learned many things. God was working on him during that time. In a nutshell, that's kind of, so it was very inspiring, powerful to hear from him and other speakers. As you can see, there was about, over 200 people at this conference. So in the Christian Missionary Alliance in the United States, these are all the new pastors, new workers. So it's exciting. There's a bright future ahead of us. Amen. There were about 10 people from the Central Pacific District. This church, the Christian Discovery Christian Community, is part of the Central Pacific District, and there's about 10 people from there, including the district superintendent, Ray Van Gilst, was there, and it was good to spend time together and get to know each other. Christian Missionary Alliance, I think, is a very unique group of people. They were talking about the fact that, did you know that there's 5 national churches that are larger than the U.S. church? You know, a lot of denominations that started in the United States, the U.S. church is the largest, right, out of all their churches in different countries. But the Christian Missionary Alliance has been so diligent in sending out missionaries that there's actually five countries in the world where the Christian Missionary Alliance church is larger than here in the United States. So Vietnam, the Congo, did you know there's more Christian Missionary Alliance members in the Congo? In Vietnam than there is in the whole United States, actually more than double. The Philippines, Ivory Coast, and Indonesia. So amazing just to celebrate what God has done in our midst. Well, this morning I'd like to speak to you about what is the church? The New Testament images of the church. Images of the church in the New Testament. And one image that is one of the most prominent in the New Testament is Jesus the shepherd, and we are his sheep. Jesus, our shepherd. We, the church, are his sheep. Now, this image of God as our shepherd and we are his sheep is very prominent throughout the Old Testament. I'm sure you are aware of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Many other passages, Psalm 95 and Ezekiel 34. But also in the New Testament, over and over again, Jesus is referred to as our shepherd. And we, the church, we are his sheep. In every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can find references to Jesus the shepherd. We are his sheep. In the epistles of Paul, the book of Hebrews, Peter, Revelation, all have references to Jesus as our shepherd and we are his sheep. And so it's a very prominent image, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And let me ask you guys a question. Do you think it's a compliment that God compares us, when he thinks of an animal to compare you and I to, he thinks of a sheep? Do you think that's a compliment? No. In case you're wondering, it is not a compliment to be compared to a sheep. You know, my kids would be very excited if God compared us to dinosaurs. Some of us, we might compare ourselves with lions. I'm like a lion, or I'm a bear, right? Or I'm like a bird, a bald eagle, you know, soaring in the air. God says, no, no, you're a sheep. Now, what is interesting about sheep? What's an interesting characteristic about a sheep? They're stupid. I didn't call you stupid. But sheep are defenseless, right? I mean, sheep don't have fangs. They don't have poison. Sheep don't have claws or talons. Sheep don't have stingers. Sheep don't have a shell. You know, they've got nice lamb chops, right? Meat, juicy meat. No hard protective outer layer of skin. They don't have wings. They can't fly away. What can a sheep do to protect itself, to defend itself? Nothing. Sheep are totally dependent on their shepherd. Sheep are totally dependent on the shepherd for survival. And God says that's what you are like. You know, if it were up to us, we would probably say, well, I'm like a bear, right? Or I'm like a lion. But God says, no, you're a sheep. You're defenseless against the lies of this world, against the power of the devil, the wickedness, the evil. You're a sheep. You are defenseless. You can't help yourself. You need me. You need a shepherd. And so this morning we're going to talk about Jesus the shepherd. We, the church, are his sheep. And out of all the passages in the New Testament that we could talk about, I think the most prominent passage about Jesus the shepherd, we his sheep, is John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Now, to be honest, I'm not sure if we can make it through this entire passage this morning, but I planned to talk with you about John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. So let's read this passage together. John chapter 10. The first thing Jesus does is he gives it says in verse 6, it's a figure of speech, an illustration, a proverb, a parable. In verse 1, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Verse 6, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. And so Jesus shares this illustration, this parable, but the Jews in Jerusalem listening, they don't understand what he's talking about. And so verses 7 to 18, Jesus explains it more clearly to them. In verse 7, he says, Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. And so in verses 7 through 10, Jesus is talking about the fact that he is the door. I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And so the rest of the passage, verses 11 to 18, Jesus explains what it means that he is the shepherd. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 16, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." So let's look, first of all, at the first six verses. Jesus tells a parable of the shepherd and his sheep. Verses 1 and 2, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." So Jesus draws a contrast here, a contrast between two different kinds of people. The first is the thief or the robber, in verse 1. The second is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, who is the shepherd? It's Jesus, right? So who is the thief, the robber? Well, in context, we know that Jesus is speaking here of the Pharisees, the leaders, the religious leaders of Israel. You see, in chapter 9, Jesus heals a blind man. A man born blind, he can see. And he is brought before the religious authorities, and instead of rejoicing at this great miracle that God has done, what do the Pharisees do? They interrogate the blind man, and they throw him out. And Jesus says, "For this I have come into the world, that those who are blind, this blind man, that they could see." And those who see, the Pharisees, the teachers of Israel, who were teaching the people, they thought that they knew a lot about God. "I have come," Jesus said, "that those who see may become blind." And so Jesus is speaking here of the thieves and the robbers. He's speaking of the false teachers, the Pharisees of Israel. It's interesting what he says about them. He says that they do not enter the sheepfold by the door, but they climb in another way. But Jesus says, "As the shepherd, I enter the sheepfold." Now, what is a sheepfold? I have a picture up here. A sheepfold is a very simple structure made of stone, or perhaps in the Middle East also with mud, plaster. But four walls with an opening in there. Jesus says that the thief and robber does not enter by the door. He climbs up another way. Isn't that a great picture of false gospels, false teachers, false religions? The sheepfold would stand for God's elect, for the people of God, for heaven. And the false teachers are those trying to climb up. They can't enter by the door. They climb up another way. You know what's the difference between Christianity and every other religion? What is distinct about Christianity? All the other religions, they talk about what we must do to climb up into heaven, right? The works that we have to do in order to get to heaven, in order to go to rise up to God. But what is the true gospel? Jesus came down. False religions, false gospels talk about the works we have to do to be saved. What is the true gospel? The true gospel is the work that Jesus did. It's not by my works, but it's by the work of Jesus on the cross that I'm saved. And so Jesus is saying these false gospels, and you know, we live in Salt Lake City. We have plenty of false gospels right here. Those who would knock on our door, and they proclaim a gospel of works. What the good works we must do in order to go to heaven. The gospel is not that we do good works to go to heaven. The gospel is that Jesus came down from heaven to earth, and through his work, through faith in his work on the cross, we are saved. Well, look with me at verses 3 through 5. Here in verse 3 through 5, Jesus describes his ministry as the shepherd with his sheep. First of all, he says, "To him the gatekeeper opens." Now, if the sheepfold is heaven, if the sheepfold is heaven, the elect of God, the people of God, then who is the gatekeeper? Who is the one who is keeping the gate of heaven? God. And so Jesus says that God, the gatekeeper, opens. To him, God has ordained Jesus and Jesus alone to be the shepherd, to be the way into the sheepfold, to be the way into heaven. to no one else. None of these thieves and robbers are allowed in. You will not get into heaven by them, only through the shepherd. He's the only one who can lead you to the sheepfold, into heaven. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. I don't know if you, did you know this about sheep? That sheep recognize their master's call? Did you know that sheep distinctly recognize their shepherd's voice? And when their shepherd calls them, they will come, they will follow him. But if another one comes and tries to imitate his voice, they will not follow him. Sheep will only follow the voice, the call of their shepherd. And that's a beautiful picture of Jesus. Jesus is calling you. It says here that he calls his own sheep by name. You know, some shepherds, they have named every one of their sheep. They know their sheep's names. Jesus knows your name. Did you know that? Jesus knows your name. And Jesus is calling you to himself. Come, I want to be your shepherd. Come, follow after me. You know, the interesting thing about sheep, although they're defenseless, they can't defend themselves. Sheep have one job. What is their one job? The one job that a sheep has is to follow the shepherd. If they can just stay close to the shepherd, everything will be all right. And that's what Jesus says in verse 4. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You know what's interesting about Western shepherds, shepherds here in America and the West, often they go behind the sheep, right? Maybe they're riding a horse. They follow behind the sheep, and they have their sheepdogs running back and forth, you know, keeping all the sheep in line. But Middle Eastern shepherds are different. Middle Eastern shepherds go in front. They're the first ones, and all their sheep follow after them. And Jesus' audience understood this. The shepherds in those days, in Jesus' days, they were the first, and all the sheep followed after them. We are Jesus' sheep. He is our shepherd. We have one job. Our job is to follow him. We don't have to worry about the wolves. We don't have to worry about the thieves, the predators. Only thing we have to worry about is following our shepherd, Jesus Christ. If we follow after him, he will lead us, as Psalm 23 says, to the still waters. If we follow after Jesus, he'll lead us to the green pastures. If we follow after Jesus, he will protect us from the wolves and from the thieves. Amen? So the first question I have this morning is Jesus your shepherd? Is Jesus your shepherd? Have you followed his call? Are you following his voice? Are you his sheep? You know, Jesus says in verse 5, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Again, we've already said, sheep will not follow the voice of a stranger. They will only follow the call of their shepherd. They know his call, they know him, and they will only follow him. Jesus says that's what it's supposed to be like with you and me. We're not supposed to be following strangers. We're not supposed to be following other voices, other religions, other teachers that would call us to go away from our master. As I said before, there are many false gospels. There are many false teachers. And yet I believe there are other strangers, other voices that are even more powerful than a false religion or a false gospel. You know, I was talking with a Vietnamese brother on the bus and asking him about he was telling me a little bit about the story of the church in Vietnam. He's a pastor serving down at a Vietnamese church in Texas. But he was born and raised in Vietnam, and he was explaining to me that, you know, in the 70s, when the missionaries were expelled, many people thought that that Christianity would die out. And there was only a couple hundred thousand Christians in Vietnam. And much like China, instead of dying out amidst persecution, when all the foreign missionaries had to leave, instead of dying out, the church had revival. Hundreds of thousands of people. I think today there's about 1.2 million Christians just in the Alliance in Vietnam. And within 20 years, the church in Vietnam grew to from a couple hundred thousand to over 1 million in 20 years. Amidst persecution, when their leaders had left. And I asked this brother from Vietnam, well, how is the church doing now? Is it growing? He said, no, it's not growing as much as it used to. And I said, why? He said, well, materialism. You know what the greatest enemy of the church is? The greatest enemy of the church is not persecution. In fact, the church throughout history, if you study church history, the church thrives when they're persecuted. What is the greatest enemy of the church? It's materialism, wealth, promise of riches. Oh, I don't want to go to church this Sunday. I'm going to work some overtime, you know, go play with my toys. Materialism. Jesus says they will not follow a stranger's voice, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Are you following? What voices are you following? Are you following the voice, the lies of this world? One of the most powerful voices, one of the most powerful lies is the lie of materialism. Well, let's read on here in verse 7. In verse 7, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. We understand what it means when Jesus says, I am the shepherd, right? That's kind of easy to understand. But what does it mean when Jesus says, I'm the door? How can Jesus be the door? You know, there's a wonderful story. In the 19th century, there was an Old Testament professor, Professor George Smith, Sir George Smith. And he often traveled down to the land of Israel in order to learn more about the land of the Bible. And on one of his trips, he was spending time with the shepherds in the land. And one of the shepherds showed him the sheepfold. And perhaps you could post the photo of the sheepfold. And so this shepherd was bragging about the fact that, you know, my sheep are safe. They're perfectly safe and secure in this sheepfold. And George Smith kind of pointed out the obvious, you know, there's kind of a gap there. How can they be perfectly safe? Like, there's this big opening. And this Arabic shepherd, you know, he's Muslim, he just says very matter-of-factly, I am the door. Duh. In other words, he's saying every night, as every good shepherd will do, he stands in front of the entrance, he stands in front of that gap, and the sheep pass one by one. He knows them by name, make sure they're all there, pass, and they go into the sheepfold. And once they're in the sheepfold, the shepherd will sleep right there at that gap. There is no sheep that will walk out of the sheepfold unless they walk across his own body. There is no wolf, no thief, no hyena, or jack predator that will walk into the sheepfold except they walk across the shepherd's own body. I am the door. Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. You see, he himself keeps watch over us. Is that not a beautiful picture? No one can pluck us from the Father's hand. He will protect us from evil. He himself, as our shepherd, is watching over us. And yet there is another meaning to the fact that there is another meaning when Jesus says, I am the door. Look at verse 9, he repeats it. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. The first meaning of the fact that Jesus is the door is that he protects us as our shepherd. He watches over us. The second meaning of the fact that Jesus is the door is that he is the way. He is the way to heaven. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only one who died for you. Moses never died for you. Muhammad never died for you. Buddha never died for you. Joseph Smith never died for you. There's only one man in history who died for you. That's Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ is the only door. He's the only way to heaven. Now, I'm aware of the fact that this is not a popular message in our day and age, right? We live in an age, pluralism, tolerance, you know, always lead to Rome, right? As long as you're devout, as long as you're sincere, you know, we'll end up in the good place. I think to myself, well, we live in a universe with natural laws. And whether you, it doesn't matter if you're sincere or insincere, how devout you are, it's whether the natural laws are laws. You can break them or you can obey them. I mean, the law of gravity, either you obey it or you don't. But it's not about how sincere in your heart you are. There was a man named Franz Reichelt. Franz Reichelt, you've probably seen a video. Franz Reichelt was a tailor. He was French. And Franz Reichelt was obsessed with parachutes. Trying to design a parachute. It was in the early 19th century, so they hadn't yet come up with parachutes. And Franz Reichelt thought that he had come up with a good design for a parachute, and he had tested it on a few dummies, and it had worked, I guess, and so he obtained permission from the French government to jump off the Eiffel Tower. Perhaps you've seen the video. If you go online, you can see the video. So Franz Reichelt jumped off the Eiffel Tower with his, you know, homemade parachute, and unfortunately was not the right design. Tragically, Franz Reichelt perished. You see, there's people that would say, well, it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere. Well, Franz Reichelt was sincere. I mean, he was devout. He was zealous. But he was sincerely wrong. The Bible says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Jesus says, I am the way. There's only one person that died for you, that shed his blood for you. There is one way. Jesus said, I am the door. There's only one door to heaven. It's Jesus Christ. And I love it. He says, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Is that not beautiful? Jesus not only saves us, but he gives us daily. He feeds our souls. Amen? As our good shepherd, he leads us to the green pastures. He feeds our souls. But look with me in verse 10. Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. You know, it's interesting in verse 8, Jesus talks about thieves and robbers, plural, thieves. But in verse 10, he says, the thief. So who is the thief? It's the devil, Satan. Behind every false religion, every false teacher, behind every lie of this world is the great liar, the father of lies, the devil himself. And Jesus says very plainly, his agenda, his plan is to steal, to kill, to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Raise your hand if you guys, anyone in here like cotton candy? Oh, man. I hate cotton candy. How could you like cotton candy? Think about it. You look at the cotton candy, it's this huge thing. It looks so good. And then you bite into it, and what happens? It just turns to mush. There's nothing. It's empty. There's no sustenance. I hate cotton candy. You know, that's like the lies of the devil. I'm sorry if you like cotton candy. Maybe forget this illustration, but for me, cotton candy is a great illustration of the devil's lies because it looks so good, right? So juicy, so big. It's going to feed you, going to fill you up, and then you bite into it, and it's empty. It's nothing. You know, there's a football player, a former football player called named Derwin Gray. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of Derwin Gray. Derwin Gray. Derwin Gray grew up in Texas, very poor family in a very poor neighborhood, drugs, you know, crime. And he quickly realized that his only escape was football. You know, in Texas, football is a god. So he played football. And Derwin Gray was good at football. He actually received a full ride scholarship to BYU. And he was good at football at BYU. And so Derwin Gray was drafted into the NFL in the 90s. And Derwin says his first year of the NFL was one of the most miserable years of his life. And you think to yourself, how could that be? You were drafted to the NFL. And he says he realized that he had been sold a bag of lies. His whole life had been spent working for this promise that if you make a lot of money and if you're famous, you'll be happy. And he got to the NFL and he realized it's a lie. It's not true. What good is it if a man gains the whole world and yet loses his soul? Cotton candy. It looks so good, and when you give your life to it, it's empty. And Derwin Gray has a great testimony. He talks about one of his teammates. He was an evangelist. He would go around in the locker room with a towel wrapped around his waist, and he would ask people, "Do you know Jesus?" And Derwin Gray thought to himself, "Do you know that you're half naked?" But his teammate eventually led him to the Lord. He was born again. Derwin Gray was saved. And he's pastoring a church in South Carolina and experiencing, you know, he said in the NFL, the NFL stands for not for long. Not for long. Because it's such a ruthless performance-based organization. You know, one week you have a good game and everybody cheers, and the next week you have a bad game and everybody boos. And he realized, I'm just a prostitute. That's all I am. I'm just prostituting my skills. Emptiness. The emptiness of this world. He found Christ, and Christ has given him life abundant. And so this morning the question is, have you found the life abundant? The abundant life in Christ Jesus. Have you entered in to heaven by the door? There's one door. There is one way to heaven. Jesus Christ. There is a lot of sincere people in this world, but they will be sincerely wrong. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. There is one way to life. There's only one shepherd, only one door, only one that can give you life. It's Jesus Christ. So are you Jesus' sheep? Is Jesus your shepherd? Have you obeyed his call to follow after him? And if you haven't taken that step this morning, if you haven't taken that step this morning to make Jesus your shepherd, to follow after him and be his sheep, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. And for us who have responded, Jesus is our shepherd. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." So do you know his voice? Jesus said, they will not follow strangers because they know my voice. They'll only follow me. Have you given in to any of the lies of this world, whether it be another religion, whether it be empty promises like materialism, the lies of this world? Are you following after Jesus? Or are you starting to follow other voices? And this morning, the Lord wants to call you back to him. He is your good shepherd. He is the one who will give you life. He is the one who will give you pasture. Not cotton candy. He'll give you real food. Food that fills you up if you follow after him. Amen? Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our good shepherd. Lord, you laid your life down for the sheep. Lord, I thank you that you are the door. You stand before that opening, before the gateway, and you keep watch. Lord, you do not let any wolf or predator come in. Lord, you keep watch yourself. You protect us. And Lord, by your body, by your blood, you are the door. You are the way. Lord, you are the way to eternal life. Father, I just pray for anyone in here who has not yet taken that step, who does not know your voice, has not followed your call to be your sheep. Lord, may they make that decision this morning to trust you. Lord, we are sheep. We are defenseless. We cannot defend against the devil, the wolf, the thief. We have no defense. Our defense is you, Lord. So I pray anyone in this room has not yet taken that step, that they would make you their shepherd and simply follow after you. And for us who do follow after you, God, Lord, may we follow after you our entire lives and not follow after strangers, those who would seek to lead us astray, the lies of this world with all their emptiness, their empty claims. You are the one who saves us. You are the one who gives us pasture, who leads us to the green pastures. You feed our souls. Sustenance. Lord, you give us life and life abundantly. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.